WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, February 7th. Coming up, evictions are back on the rise in the Midwest, putting an increasing number of tenants at risk for housing insecurity. We'll look at the impact on public health with Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois National Guard has a new Major General, and one of his priorities is to foster diversity. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Rodney Boyd is now the highest-ranking black officer in the Guard's approximately 300-year history. He says they do a good job of recruiting people from many different backgrounds. However,
what we don't do well as an organization is to harness that talent and convince them that it's important for them to stay in long enough so they can have an opportunity to compete at the upper levels of our organization.
Boyd says he plans on meeting with junior-ranked soldiers regularly to make sure they feel supported. A native of Chicago's South Side, Boyd started his career in the Marine Corps before taking his former college roommate's advice and joining the Illinois National Guard. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is worried that education policies he opposes are trying to take root here. Pritzker has taken aim at conservative governors like Florida's Ron DeSantis for pushing policies that, among other things, ban certain books and prohibit the teaching of some subjects. At an unrelated news conference yesterday, Pritzker said candidates he considers extreme often get into politics locally, and he's asking voters to pay attention.
There are organizations that are anti-LGBTQ, that are racist, that are anti-Muslim, that are supporting candidates for these local boards, and they're trying to take over at a local level.
Pritzker says in some cases, those extreme local candidates move on to bigger races like governor, a not-so-subtle nod to his Republican challenger in the last election. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is designing a social media platform to connect high school students with tutors at the university. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Students will log onto the platform to get their tutoring. Teachers can also use the site for professional development. Chancellor Robert J. Jones approved the project last week. He says the goal is to help more underrepresented students make it to college.
You complain now about the number of black and brown students we have. If we don't do something starting 10 years ago, it's going to be a real problem for us all.
Jones says this is the latest initiative by U of I to diversify the student body, like increasing financial aid. Those in charge of the Illinois Virtual Partnership with Schools plan to roll it out starting in the fall. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
You can hear more of Illinois Public Media's conversation with the chancellor and other university officials Thursday evening at 7 on WILL-TV. Champaign County recently held its annual point-in-time census to estimate how many homeless people live in the county. Volunteers for the effort met at the First United Methodist Church on a weeknight in January to begin a search that lasted about 2 hours. Katie Harmon is in charge of organizing the count. She's the Continuum of Care Director for the Champaign County Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless. Harmon says the count helps both the homeless and homeless service organizations.
My personal opinion is that housing is a basic human right, and having an awareness of people who are unsheltered and sheltered and what services they might need helps us as a community determine how many people are experiencing homelessness in our community and what resources need to be made available.
Last year, 137 people were counted as homeless. Harmon says she's curious if those numbers have decreased after the opening in December of a new Champaign homeless shelter. She says tallies for this year's count will be released in a few months. Still to come, a look at the effects of evictions on public health. That's as evictions are on the rise in the Midwest. That story is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Evictions are back on the rise in the Midwest, putting an increasing number of tenants at risk for housing insecurity. Rent hikes, low wages, and the end of federal pandemic rental assistance are all partly to blame. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs reports This growing housing crisis threatens public health.
The trouble for Roland Carroll started last fall. His apartment complex in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, told him that his federal housing aid had been reduced months ago for the unit he lived in for 2 years.
Oh, it's a one-bedroom. It's falling apart, basically.
Carroll owed more than $2,000 in back rent.
Well, I was in shock. I'm like, how the heck could I own this amount of money without you guys saying something months ago, you know?
Carroll doesn't own a car and works odd jobs through a local temp agency. He struggled to pay his debt while keeping up on his $339 a month rent. The apartment complex filed to evict him a few days after Christmas. Carroll says he was worried because local shelters were full, and he has many chronic health issues that cost money.
I'm diabetic. I have arthritis. I have asthma.
With the help of the nonprofit Iowa Legal Aid, Carroll successfully got the case dismissed at his hearing in mid-January because his apartment had failed to give him sufficient notice. Making rent is still a challenge for Carroll, and his health suffers.
Yeah, I've been so darn stressed out. You know, my mental health is really poor at the moment.
The eviction moratorium issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention ended in mid-2021. And Iowa, like most states, ended its federally funded emergency rent and utility program last year. Now, many Americans face housing insecurity and its health impact. In fact, last year, Iowa hit a record 18,000 eviction filings.
You know, rents keep going up and up.
Nick Gratz is with Princeton University's Eviction Lab project that tracks eviction filings in several states. Gratz specializes in the link between housing and public health. He says even the threat of eviction puts tenants in a risky position with their health.
The result is that people go from paying 60% of their income on rent to 70% of their income on rent and sort of just have to absorb that cost by foregoing things like preventative health care, facing higher food insecurity, you know, things like that.
A literature review in the journal Social Science and Medicine showed studies have tied the threat of eviction to depression, anxiety, high blood pressure, and child maltreatment. People facing housing insecurity are also disproportionately women, people of color, and those with disabilities. Gratz says chronic health issues or a health emergency can push people into a scenario where they're more likely to be evicted.
It's hard when you're trying to navigate something like that. Maybe you fall behind on rent and then you can quickly get into this space where it becomes really difficult to avoid, you know, an eviction filing.
Federal and state lawmakers have proposed a variety of policy solutions to combat evictions. Iowa incentivizes developers to build affordable housing. Minnesota lawmakers are considering a rent voucher program. One popular growing solution is eviction diversion programs, like the one Iowa Legal Aid runs in six of the state's county courthouses. Attorney John Bitterman types on a laptop at a desk just past the metal detectors at the Linn County Courthouse.
This morning we had 12 hearings. I'd say that's pretty common for this winter.
He works with Iowa Legal Aid's Eviction Diversion Help Desk. The group started the program at the beginning of the pandemic in response to the rising number of eviction cases. Bitterman says generally they work out deals with landlords or try to get cases dismissed.
Homelessness being put out is such a crisis for a person that if you're able to prevent that or even buy them a week, that can really make a difference in a person's life.
In the meantime, Iowa Legal Aid would like to open more eviction help desks in county courthouses across the state. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Natalie Krebs.
This story comes from a collaboration between Iowa Public Radio, Side Effects Public Media, and the Midwest Newsroom. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly cloudy and warm today with a high of 51 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, May Antar, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.